purpose of this podcast here at the DMC is for men to be disciples, other men to live by the conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord. God calls men of dominion to lead the way in making a positive difference in the lives of men, their families, and their neighbors. Welcome to the podcast. On today, we want to talk about the battle for your mind. There's an ongoing battle in our minds, a battle that the Spirit of God must win. For instance, Mark Batterson, author, in his book says, "Doctors Avi Carney and Leslie Underglider of the National Institute of Medical Health did a fascinating study asking subjects to perform a simple motor task, a finger tapping exercise. As subjects tap, the doctors conducted an MRI to identify what part of the brain was being activated. The subjects then practiced the finger tapping exercise daily for 4 weeks. At the end of the four-week period, the brain scan was repeated. In each instance, it revealed that the area of the brain involved in the task had expanded. That simple task, finger tapping exercise, literally recruited new nerve cells and rewired neural connections. When we read scripture, we are recruiting new nerve cells and rewind neural connections. In a sense, we are downloading a new operating system that reconfigures the mind. When we read scripture, we engage in spiritual tapping. Our brains are rewired in alignment with the word, and we develop the mind of Christ. We think his thoughts." See, we have the word of God. God has spoken through us through his son. And his son has given the apostles and other authors the word by the Holy Spirit for us to rely on. The Bible is the word of God, undoubtedly. Now in Romans chapter 12, 1 through 3, Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Literally, that word perfect means complete. What is complete? What is God's will to be complete in your life? Paul starts off by saying, exhort, literally urge, literally saying, please. It's an attempt to make someone do or accept something as right or proper by saying things that are directed at a person's feelings, attitudes, and character. Paul is not pleading to them on the basis of his apostleship, but on the basis of God's mercies, making it clear that worship and obedience are the only reasonable response to the Lord's mercy. From him, through him, and to him. From him, we got mercy. Through him, we live in mercy. To him, we glorify him for his mercy. Here, Paul is trying to get us to accept the fact that our body and the actions of our body should be holy, which means set apart. Set apart for God, and acceptable, which means that we make our actions in the body worthy of being accepted. A living sacrifice. This sacrifice can be broken down into four elements that God wants. The soul, the body, the mind, and the will. The soul, God wants the inner person. The body, he wants your physical earthly body to remain pure as much as you can. And the mind, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Your mind dictates how your body functions. Your will demonstrates the love of God by doing his will, putting it on display to other people. We do the Lord's will. Lord, your will be done, not mine. And in doing the Lord's will and in bearing fruit, we put that on display as Christians for other people. This is the path of sanctification. We can only do this by the mercies of God because in his compassion, he has forgiven us for our sins, which should have led us to death. Honestly, we all should be dead, but Christ saved us by being a holy and acceptable sacrifice on the cross. Christ has fulfilled the requirement we have new life in Christ because he paid the price. We couldn't pay it, so he paid it for us. And now that the believer is living because of Christ, our whole life should be a walking, talking, breathing, spiritual worship to God. When we worship God, we are given acknowledgement to God of his nature, his attributes, and his ways. From our hearts in praise and thanksgiving by our deeds, we must acknowledge God's role and his priority in our life. Our bodies ought to be instruments of righteousness. Our bodies ought to keep us right with the Lord. And with our bodies, we need to respect the Lord and be obedient to his word, trying to keep the temple of the Lord pure as much as we can. Paul goes on in the next verse to talk about, Paul tells us to be conformed, to not be conformed to this world. Meaning, don't fasten your life and thinking according to your fleshly desires and physical needs that the world offers. You know, as young men, we kind of often do things on our passions and our desires. I know as a young man, you know, the alcohol will have you do things you normally wouldn't do because the alcohol actually quenches the spirit. It will have you do things that you normally wouldn't do. So we ought to keep our bodies always on the word of the Lord. Keep our thinking pure as much as we can. Paul uses the metaphor of transformation to describe the discipleship process. The learning process. Discipleship is a learning process. The apostles sat at the feet of Jesus for a learning process, including Paul. Paul also learned from Christ. He speaks of that in the scriptures, in which this process is the renewing of the mind. It's a discipleship matter. The same word that brought the transforming message of the gospel will continue that transformation through the renewing of our minds. There is nothing more powerful than a changed mind. But before we look at what to do to renew our mind, we must look at what don't do. First off, bad company corrupts good morals. It says in Psalms 1:1-2, blesses the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. See, it's an old saying. We say it often that if you want to have a particular thing in life, or if you want to be a particular success, you need to surround yourself around successful people. You need to surround yourself around things of success. It's the same with the renewing of the mind in the Holy Scriptures. You need to place yourself around warriors for Christ, around people who know the word. And if they don't know the word, they can get some things or some answers for you. Some people who are godly people who are living a life that you aspire to live. Because you're just going to hang around people that's living in the world. They got one foot in and one foot out. Yes, they're in the clubs and doing what they need to do. They in church on Sunday. But that's a double-minded man. You need to surround yourself around people who are trying to teach you in the word correctly by their words and by their walk in life. Surround yourself around these people, because surround yourself by people who are, I don't want to necessarily say bad, but who are not walking in the scriptures, who are not trying to aspire to be what you are trying to aspire to be in the Lord. All that does is cause you frustration and anxiety, and it prolongs your walk. Next, doubts. Did God actually say? 4 misleading words, condemning words these are, that people use to doubt scripture. Words that began with the first and greatest lie ever told. A lie that cast doubt upon the truthfulness and trustworthiness of God's words. You know, did God actually say? We can go back to that in Genesis. Did God actually say? Now, James in chapter 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We must trust the word God has given us. You can't believe some of the Bible and then cast the rest out because it does not fit to your desires and pleasures. But either we're going to be all in or all out. No in between. No lukewarm. You either cold or hot. So we must believe God's word in which he has set the blueprint in. Next, don't trust yourself. Proverbs 28 and 26 put it best about trusting yourself. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. It is not saying that you can't trust yourself to observe a tornado coming and that it is safe to shelter. Of course you can trust yourself to do things to keep you safe sometimes. However, what it is getting at is the fact that fallen humanity, sinners, are inclined towards foolishness rather than wisdom, are inclined to give in to lust and hurtful desires and immediate wants instead of long-term needs. We are inclined to immediate gratification instead of thinking, pondering, and planning for our long-term needs in the spiritual realm is more important, because our long-term needs is needing eternal life in Jesus Christ. We are born conforming to this world. This is a part of the fall of man. But when we encounter Jesus, Yeshua, which means deliverance, rescue, savior, and salvation, when we come in realization of the mercies of Yah and repent of our sins and believe on Yeshua, we are to be transformed, changed spiritually by the Holy Spirit. Now that's supernatural. The spiritual change is not in the way of the body looks. You know, this will happen when Christ returns for his bride, but in the way of our character and actions of the body. That's the change. Our character change. And if our character change, our actions in the body change. If you have truly had a spiritual encounter with the Lord, this complete change will be the work of Yah through the Holy Spirit. The word transform indicates a continuous process. God will renew your mental mind and your spirit. He will conform them to the truth about him and his word. It is the Lord that turns us. And if Yah changes you, you will be changed. There will be evidence in your life that you've been changed, that you've encountered the Holy Spirit. I like to use the example is if an 18-wheeler hit someone and then they come home, you don't see nothing broken. You don't see nothing damaged. You see no change in them. You're pretty sure that they didn't get hit by an 18-wheeler. And if they did, they didn't get hard. When God changes us, there is evidence of that change because the Holy Spirit hits hard. But we must keep knocking at the door for this change. We must be actively seeking God's will. Though the new man created by God is instant justification. Yet, we must put him on every day until God brings us to perfection in the life to come. In Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for this good pleasure. No one who goes to the doctor and gets a medication that the doctor says you need to take this daily because this is going to help your life. This is going to help heal you. This is going to help prolong your life. No one takes that medication, goes home, sits it on the counter, and then everybody that comes in the house, they say, oh, look, you see what the doctor gave me? No, we don't do that. We take it daily because we want to live. We want to be healthy. It's the same with God's word. We need to take it daily. We need to work it out daily. It needs to be evidence in our life of the inner work that's going on in us. You have to watch your thoughts and what you listen to. Be careful what you let into your spirit, because what comes in come out as your words. Watch your words and taste your words before you spit them out. Your words become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your attitude. Watch your attitude, it tells your character. Watch your character, because it's your heart. Watch your heart, because it dictates your choices. As a man, we should think first, then understand, then plan, and then take action. As Paul comes to a close in these three verses, we understand that God has granted a differing measure of faith to each of his children. And Paul calls upon each to assess himself or herself realistically. God has given us all unique gifts, but we can easily become distracted when we compare our gifts to those of others. Comparison can cause us to think more highly of ourselves or lower than we ought to. In the end, some may feel like they have nothing to offer because they do not have a certain gift. Instead of grumbling about the gifts we don't have or things we can't do, we should use the gifts we have been given in a way that avoids envy and fighting. We must value the role of each part of the body as we keep our eyes on the Lord. Focus on the task for which God has redeemed us, the ministry for which he is transforming us. Some people are miserable, depressed, and unhappy with the direction their life is going. I want to give you food for thought. Maybe your life is not going in the direction you would like it to be going because you are walking in your own self-diagnosis of your purpose and not in the purpose Yah has designed for you from the beginning. Now, as we renew the mind, we ask the question, answer the question, how to renew the mind? Through scripture, through prayer, and also through the church. Not the building, but Christian warriors, prayer warriors. God has not left us alone. There are Bible-believing Christians with compassion, with love, with knowledge of the scriptures, just waiting to be tapped into. It might not be emotional. It might not be entertaining, but yet it's knowledgeable. They can give you insight. They can pray for you. They gonna walk up right in front of you. It's like for my children, as they're grown now, all the worrying, the best thing I can do for them now, because they're making some of their own choices, is to pray for them and pray that they know Jesus Christ and pray that they read the scriptures and pray that they fellowship and pray they come to know the mercies of God and be there for them. And also, but most importantly, walk upright before them so they can see the God in me. The renewing of the mind, the battle for your eternal life, has to be an inwardly change, not just outwardly. You take an apple, and there's a fruit worm in that apple. It can look good sitting on a counter, look fresh and delicious. But on the inside, that worm is rotting it. It's rotting it from the inside out. This is the route a lot of things in the church is going today. It's rotting from the inside out from lukewarm believers, from half in, half out, for the ones who want to misinterpret the scriptures and eisegesis the text, for the ones who want entertainment and emotion, but not solid food, not meat. They want the milk, itching ears, someone to justify how they're feeling, someone to excuse what they're doing. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4:8. Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Jesus had no slaves, but they called him master. Jesus had no army, but the kings feared him. Jesus committed no crime, yet they crucified him. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb, yet Jesus lives today because he's risen. This is on the right hand of the Father. Believe on Jesus Christ. Amen.